Well, there's a few things to pray about and thank God for, too. Before we pray, let's look into the Scripture and encourage our hearts. We have been considering these five statements that are in the Gospel of John concerning the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit. In John 14, 15, and 16, we're in the 16th chapter this evening, and our portion will begin with verse 12. But just a brief recap of what we've seen. He is, the Spirit of God is described as another helper. And our Lord says that he is the Spirit of truth. And what he says there in the 14th chapter is that I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And how he's coming is rendering help a different way. He's going to render help through the Spirit of God, and he's going to help them like Jesus had been helping them. And also in that chapter, he is described yet again as the helper, the Holy Spirit, who will interpret and teach the things about the Lord Jesus. In the 15th chapter, he's called the helper. In fact, he'll be called the helper again. So four times out of five, he is described that way, and that should encourage you. And back in the 15th chapter, he is the helper, the Spirit of truth, who will witness about Jesus. In the 16th chapter, as it opens and gets going in the early verses, he is, again, the helper who will convict the world. And F.F. Bruce, I remind you, said that he is the prosecutor, that he will come and convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And here, in our passage tonight, he is described yet again as the Spirit of truth. So four times he is called the helper. Three times he is described as the Spirit of truth. All right, we'll begin our reading with verse 12 of chapter 16. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So here he is described again as, by some, as the revealer. And let's just break this down statement by statement, because each one is encouraging. He is described in verse 13 as a guide. He will guide you into all the truth. When Billy and I went to the Capitol building last summer in Washington, D.C., we took a tour. We had to take a tour. You don't just get in and wander around on your own unless you work there. And so the tourists come in, they give you, assign you to a tour leader who speaks into a microphone, and you hear it on these little earbuds because of this receiver that you have. But because of that, because we had a guide, this man took us to places we could not go otherwise. He showed us things we would not have seen otherwise. He explained to us things that we would not have known otherwise. And I believe that there's a parallel here. In this passage, when Jesus says of the Spirit of God, he is going to guide you. He will lead you into all the truth. Now, thinking of guides, we could then say of the Spirit of God that he is going to take us places we would not normally go on our own. We could not. He is going to show to us things that we could see no other way. He is going to explain things to us that we would not know any other way. Christianity, in its heart, is not for the clever or the wise or the insightful or those guys that, that have a lot of letters behind their name. It's not just for them. Aren't you glad they are included too? If you got a bunch of letters behind your name, that's okay. If you've got nothing behind your name, that's okay too. Because all of us are on an equal playing field when it comes to the truth and God showing it to us. We have to be guided. And this is what our Lord is saying. There's, you know, we wouldn't have gotten in to the Capitol building unless we had said, all right, we will take the tour with that. Which one do you want? That guy? Okay. They assigned us someone. He was counting us all out, and they said, all right, that's enough. And so we went with him, and because we went with him, we got into the rotunda. We got into the place where the statues are. We got into the place where the TV cameras only go every so often. We saw some interesting things. And we, even in Christ Jesus, we are not going to figure out all of it on our own. We need a guide. We need a guide. Paul, brilliant mind that he was, he did not figure all this stuff out about the Gentiles and Jews and the relationship that exists and about the one new man in Christ Jesus. He was led into that truth. The Spirit of the Lord guided him. The second thing in verse 13 is it says, he will speak. Now it says like this, he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. My favorite Dickens story is A Christmas Carol. You know the story? And Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by three spirits. Well, four if you count Jacob Marley. But he is visited by the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas future. Now, that's not entirely accurate spiritually. I understand that. And the purpose of these apparitions and visitations is the reclamation of Ebenezer Scrooge. Well, the first two, the ghost of Christmas past and then the ghost of Christmas future, were, especially future, were pretty talkative. They just jabbered away. It's this last one that comes, the ghost of Christmas future. Not a word said. You remember? Have you read the story? Have you read it? Have you seen the movie? Okay. Well, if you saw the George C. Scott, it's the most accurate one to the way it was written. So I'll just share that for you fans out there. But this third spirit was silent as the grave, and he looked like the grave. In fact, in the movie, Ebenezer Scrooge says, you are devilishly hard to have a conversation with. This is the most important one of all. He's the key runner. He's the anchor man. He is the fellow that's going to finish this work. He says nothing. It's an interesting way to put it, and I thought to myself, thank God it is not that way in Christ. We have a guide who is not silent, who doesn't just hold out a bony finger and point and tell us which way he wants us to go or what he wants us to look at, and we're sitting there drawing our own conclusions from this. We have a guide who what? Let me read it again. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Ah, so there is a speaking voice. Jesus is saying that we are going to have in this heavenly visitor, this heavenly helper, one who speaks. Well, now the young Christian will read that and might be a little confused and say, what does that mean? Are we going to hear voices? And what's the answer to that? You who've been walking with Jesus for a long time. The answer is no and yes. You will not hear it with your outward ears. It's most unlikely. It has happened. But more than likely, I would say almost exclusively, you will hear his voice deep in your... It is the voice of the Spirit of God who is able to speak in your spirit and make you know what he is saying. He knows how to speak. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to reprimand. He knows how to encourage. He knows how to speak in such a way as to lead you. And all those things are wonderfully true. But what is he saying here? Well, he does not speak on his own initiative. This is like the Lord Jesus. And we're really sort of running pressed a bit on time, so I'll just read this to you. The Lord said, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And coming down a few verses in John 5, and I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So he spoke, our Lord did, and he acted just as the Father would show him to act and to speak. Now, This is what our Lord is saying of the Spirit of God. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears? Well, this is the segue into the next point. He will disclose. He will disclose. Now, what a blessing this is. He says in verse 13, he will disclose to you what is to come. I had to go out and look it up. It's in 1 Kings 22, when Ahab is going to be led into slaughter. And the Lord says, just sort of, it's an interesting way to put it. He just throws it out into the general assembly there in the throne room where we were Sunday. What a statement. And he says, how are we going to get Ahab to fall? And one said this, another said this. And some spirit comes forward and says, I can entice him. How? I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. Now, Jehoshaphat caught that when these crazy guys were out there ranting and raving and jumping up and down and taking iron horns and saying, you're going to gore the Syrians with these things. And Jehoshaphat, who was there at the time, saw through this and says, well, wait a minute, is there not a prophet of the Lord here? And Micaiah, the guy, comes forward and says, well, let me tell you what I heard. And he spoke the truth. And because of that, he went to prison. Now, what is he saying? The Spirit of truth will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. And go back in the book of Acts and read this. Read about Agabus. Read about this fellow who prophesied about a coming drought and famine and how they took up relief for the saints in Jerusalem. Or how they spoke to Paul about, look, if you go to Jerusalem, this is going to happen to you. I know. He goes anyway, but he's prepared. He knows by the Spirit of God that this is coming. And what a blessing it is that the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of truth, can help us in this way. He can give to us enough understanding to help us in our journey. He's not going to paint the entire picture for us of what is to come. He'll only speak what the Father gives him to speak. But he will disclose what is to come. I tell you, that is an unspeakable blessing right there. Now, the fourth thing he does, and our Lord says this in verses 14 and 15. This is still kind of a subsection of he will speak. And what will he do? He will glorify me. For he shall take of mine, he take of the things of Jesus, take of the things of Christ, and disclose it to you. Make it known to you. The things that are unseen to us, the things that are in the heavens, the things at the Father's right hand, the glory, the honor, the power, the coming of our Lord, the certainty of it. These are things that are disclosed to the people of God. And again, not just facts that we can read in our theological chart, but just the sense of, I know he's coming. I know he's at the right hand. I know he's enthroned. I know he is powerful above all things. I know that he has all authority in heaven and earth, not just because I've read it, but the Spirit of God has borne witness to that. He has shown this to me that, and I believe it. That's what he's describing here. Now, we might just as well say, what is he not saying? The Spirit of God will come and he will glorify you. He will make our ministry popular. He will make us rich. He will make us all healthy. He'll make us all pretty. He'll make us all popular. Are those the promises? Nope. He'll make you rich. He'll heal you of all the problems and you'll live for a gabillion years. No, nope. He will glorify me, the Lord said. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. And you combine verse 15 with that and you've really got something. All things that the Father has are mine. And he takes of that, all of it. So, listen. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me say this. We've been trying to trace out what the presence of the Lord is like and the benefit and the experience of the people of God. So what can we say? We say that when the Lord is among us in his fullness and comes to us afresh and anew, time after time, those are the moments when we know that we are being led, that we are being taught, that there is a certainty in our heart, And the Lord Jesus Christ is large to us. I mean big. He's not a little Savior. He's a big Savior. He's not just a historical figure. He's a present reality. The Spirit of God has taken the things of Jesus and shown them to you. You can check yourself. You can test yourself on these very points and say, how much of the Spirit of God do I know? And how much of this is mine? In fact, this is the point. Aren't these promises? Every one of these statements, aren't they promises? When he comes, he will, he will, he will. What are we supposed to do with promises? Well, that's good. Let's believe them first. And secondly, let's claim them. David gets this staggering revelation of what God's going to do for him and his house. And he goes in and sits before the Lord. And the only thing he thinks to say is, well, number one, Lord, who am I? But then number two, Lord, do as thou hast spoken. In the book of Revelation, it will close. This will maybe be our last sermon on down the line. The Lord says, I'm coming quickly. And what's the reply? Come, Lord Jesus. You take the promise and you turn it back into a prayer. You bless God for the truth of it. You hold on to the reality of it and you bring it to him and say, Lord, do this. Do this. And so, Lord, as you said, guide me, speak to me, disclose the things to come to me as much as I need to see, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to me. Make him wonderfully big, not bigger than he is, because you can't do that, but make him bigger than he is at the moment to me. I will not have a little Savior. I will not have a small God. I will have, look, a small God's not worth serving, is he? But we don't have a small God. We have a big one. The God of God and King of Kings. Lord, make him big to me. Open my eyes to see him. Plead that before him. Ask him. It's a promise. And turn it back on in prayer. So let's pray. Let's pray.